This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by our new friends that we're very excited about, Manscaped.
Manscaped is the best in below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. So whether you're listening to this and thinking about your own balls or somebody else's balls, or if balls aren't even in the picture, this is for anyone who has ever come across a hairy bush. Michelle and I gave ourselves a personal challenge to see how many times we could say balls and bush in one ad, and I think it's going smashingly well.
Balls and bush. That is correct. Okay, listen. So Manscaped sent us a kit for our husbands, and I was very excited when they reached out to us because I am all about scaping, okay? I am. I it's important to me. It's important that Jose Luis, yes, that is correct, everyone. He shaves his balls.
Human
and, you know,
scaping.
They do say trimming the bushes makes the tree look a little taller. And it's very true. And I, too, shave the bush. Okay. It's listen, we leave nothing out in this podcast. Okay. So this is a great gift right now, everybody. This is a really great gift for whether you got balls or bush. Right.
Boom. This is an optimized trimmer, sleek, well-designed. It's on the market for a cleaner shave. It's waterproof. You can trim in the shower. And the two of us are very, very impressed with the branding for the whole company.
Oh, I mean, my God. It's amazing.
Yeah. The kit and the box that we received. Like, my husband wasn't home when I opened it up, but I opened up the box and it just says your balls will thank you in this like beautiful gold foil print. And I was like, I'm going to close this back up, make it look like it was never opened, wrap it up and put it under the Christmas tree because gifting season is upon us and I feel very well prepared now.
So listen, if you've been shaving with the same nut trimmer on your face, gross, you've been doing it wrong. This is the fourth generation of their lawnmower and it has all guard lengths, sizes 1 to 4, wireless charging. Okay. Okay. And with our code right now, you're going to get 20% off. So this is a perfect gift for any gender. Okay. And again, perfect gift, whether you got balls or bush, bush or balls. I said it again. I don't know. Is anybody counting how many times we're saying this? 20% off.
Plus free shipping.
Plus free shipping. Okay. So here's what you do. You go to manscaped.com. Manscaped.com and use our code BIGWEDDING at checkout. 20% off plus free shipping. There you go. You got your holiday purchase. It's covered.
Get them something that they'll love and is almost sure to get a laugh. 20% off free shipping. Manscaped.com code BIGWEDDING. Thank you, Manscaped.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that way. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. We're happy you're here. We're happy to be here.
Yes. It's good to be on Earth this day with you.
Look around.
On the screen.
So much to be grateful for.
We just came off of a really cool Patreon Zoom cocktail hour with our peeps. That's always fun.
I bet they're all listening. Hey, you know who you are.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? That's the guy from Family Guy. Okay, so I did not do this interview with you, but every time I see a posting or an email from Jen Glantz, I am absolutely like so curious, and it makes complete fucking sense, especially after all the years that we've been hearing from our listeners about the drama of the people that they've chosen for their wedding party
and the job that it
that it is
ends up being. Yeah. So we can talk all we want about how, you know, it's an honor. It shouldn't feel like an obligation. This idea of like showing up and being present for your friend who has asked you to be a member of their wedding party. But the truth is, it's not always the easiest relationship. You know, let's say bride and bridesmaid in this case, most specifically, but there's a lot of like weight put on this role. Some we wish was not there and has been like blown up to where people have certain ideas about the way that it's supposed to go. And then when it doesn't go that way, are like very disappointed and their friendship is called into question. And, you know, we've talked a lot of listeners off the ledge, so to speak, in terms of like, I just don't know if I want this person in my life anymore. Like her true colors have come out during this process and feelings get hurt and lines get drawn in the sand. And it can just be honestly a whole damn thing.
Yeah. So when you interviewed her, Christy, I mean, obviously we don't want to give the episode away within the first 5 minutes here, but like, what do you think was like the biggest kind of takeaway for you or surprise or interesting?
I mean, her whole gig at this point is like fictional. Like you can't, you, I mean, we mentioned it, I think in the episode that it's a very like romantic comedy plot, what she does. So if you're able to like go to her website right now and just check it out, Bridesmaid for Hire is the name of the website. So you'll see who we're talking to and that this is like real. This isn't a movie or a novel or a script. Like she had an idea, she did it, and now it's her job. And she's like all over the place as a wedding expert and author. She's super down to earth and was really easy and friendly to talk, like the kind of conversation where there's not a lot of warm up. We just like get right into it. And I always appreciate that when people are that open. And then in the episode, we just kind of go down the list of like myths, like, you know, busting up these myths about what it is to be a bridesmaid and some of the things that she's learned and, you know, crazy things that she's seen. One thing that kept coming up to the top that I wasn't surprised about, but I was happy because it reinforces what we talk about is some of the job being like running, like being kind of an interventionist, like running, what is it called when you run interception?
That's a football term.
Yes. But even interventionist in that, like I'm going to intervene on her behalf or on my friend's behalf that this is not going to happen. You can't come in or we're not going to deal with that. Or like, ask me some questions instead of going to her. So the idea of like running interception, like with family or vendors, making sure that the bride in this case largely is kind of like shielded from some of the BS that might go on.
Yeah.
Like it's best if she hears about it weeks from now and in like a funny way and not like, oh yeah, you know, this thing almost happened, but it didn't because I was there for you. So she has ways of talking about that because she's not actually the bride's best friend, but she's playing that role for a day. But for all of you who are listening, who are not going to be professionals, you're just doing this job that you're taking on this role. There's ways that you can like position yourself to be more helpful and less stressed out yourself about what you're doing. I think that was important. Like a lot of you guys listening are planning your own weddings, but that doesn't mean that you're not also in somebody's wedding this year or next year, or you've attended 12 weddings in the past year. So I just, the whole episode is like dropping gems about how the wedding party can really make or break the experience for the people getting married and for the wedding planner, quite frankly.
You know? Did she talk about how much it costs to hire a professional bridesmaid?
You mean how much to hire her?
Yeah. I mean, looks like you can, like there's people doing this more than just her. It looks like she's got.
Now she has a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't even remember if, cause I think it's pretty like, this is not something, unattainable.
Okay.
Let's say that. Yeah. We're not talking about like, don't even listen unless you're having a $200,000 wedding. That's not the case.
Okay, cool. Cool. Well, let's jump in because I'm really excited to listen to this. And thank you, Jen, for being on the episode. And if anybody ends up using this service, you know, you have to hit us up and let us know because we need to know. We're on a need to know basis. Okay. This is very important.
It sounds wildly successful. And all of Jen's bio and all of the links are on our show notes as well. So you can always head there for more information about any guest, but this guest specifically has a great library of resources. So check it out.
All right, let's do it.
My name is Jen Glanz, and I am the founder of a company called Bridesmaid for Hire, where strangers hire me to be their bridesmaid.
There you go. That's the elevator pitch.
It says it all right there in that sentence. And then it, of course, leads to many questions after that. But I like to stop there and have silence before I go on.
Yeah, because this is the, like, everybody thinks they know this romantic comedy, you know, which there hasn't actually been one. But
not yet.
It's like in our brains that this is like an urban legend, mm-hmm. that this even exists, or people think they have the original idea. Like I'm going to do this. And then they must just look on Google and be like, oh, somebody else did it.
You're so right. I feel like after I started this business, so many people reached out to me and said two things. Number one, I had this idea. I wish I started it, but I didn't know how. Or number two, I wish I hired you for my wedding because I totally would have needed someone like you. So it's definitely interesting to hear that people are sometimes confused by the job, but also sometimes thinking, wow, like I thought of that too. And I think that's so cool.
Has anybody been like, I thought of it first?
A lot of people have said, like, I thought of this years ago, but I just never acted on it. And that's like business 101 is that all ideas, we all have the same ideas. It happens to me all the time. And then I turn on Shark Tank and I'm like, oh my God, that could have been my idea. So I think like the moral of the story is like, if you think of something, and this is something that people think of and they think it's so crazy that it can't actually be done. And I think the only thing that separated me and other people who had the idea was I got on a plane, I flew to a random person's wedding and I started the business. So, you know, I think if you do have a crazy idea, test it out, plan it out and do it because you don't want to sit back and watch someone else.
So the origin story started, I mean, you have the idea and then Craigslist.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, I had the idea because all my friends got married and then distant friends asked me to be a bridesmaid. So I thought to
you
myself,
mean like
okay,
tier three friends,
like or a tier long distance. Four.
Okay. You know, okay. So
it was crazy because these were friends that lived blocks away from me in New York City that I hadn't seen in years. And we lived blocks away. Two of them called me on the same night and asked me to be a bridesmaid.
Why do you think was a word getting around that like Jen has her shit together and she's a really good bridesmaid? So they were like, oh, I guess
so.
My crew's kind of weak. I'll ask Jen, who I saw like 2 years ago.
I think it was a couple of things. I think number one is like, yeah, because of social media, people had seen me do it again and again and again. They knew I was reliable. I didn't make a mess of myself. And number two, I think some people honestly asked me because they wanted to repair the friendship. And this is common. People will ask someone to be their bridesmaid in hopes of rekindling a friendship, in hopes of kicking it off, but that never, ever works. And it's not usually a good idea. So after that happened, my roommate was like, Jen, you are so good at this. You are a professional. And that's when I thought, okay, I have no business experience. I don't know how I could make this work. I put up an ad on Craigslist. It was like funny, but also real. And from there, I just got hundreds of emails from strangers who were like, hey, I need you. Here's why. And that's how it started.
So I know one of the questions, and I want to ask why the strangers, like what their like number one reason or the reason that you kept seeing, because one of the things I saw when I like was looking at the website and all the videos that you do, and I had this question too, does it mean like people kind of think that it's like this veiled, like you're really a wedding planner and you're going to do everything that a wedding day of maybe coordinator, manager would do for me. And since I didn't hire them, and I also want to feel like I have a cool best friend for a day, could you be mine? And you on your answer is like, no, negative. I'm not a wedding planner. I don't communicate with the vendors. I'm not going to like call the venue. And so then I thought, well, we've heard from a wedding concierge. He's a gentleman. And so he does it for like the, it's similar to what you do. It's a little more wardrobe related in his case. But so I thought, I want to know what the actual overwhelming need was, or has it evolved at all?
I mean, you're so right. This is like my number one pet peeve is like, oh my God, she's a wedding planner in disguise. And I'm like, wait, I have never planned a wedding in my life. You know, basically what the role is I am the hired bridesmaid where I show up. I have a fake backstory. I wear the dress. I walk down the aisle. I am your friend. And when I got the emails from strangers, they fell into two categories. Category one was people who had no friends. And I never found that weird because I didn't really have a lot of close friends myself. And category two were people who had bridesmaids, but their bridal party was falling apart and was a disaster. And they needed someone responsible, professional, and undercover to show up and keep the peace. And once I saw that, I was like, okay, those are my two business ideas right there.
So that's two very different, like, I think it's actually kind of cool that somebody is self-aware enough to be like, I don't have a close group of friends. And like, whatever I think about that, I'm okay with it. Or I wish I did, or I know why, or I don't know why, like none of that matters. But to say like, I'm planning this big event and I kind of need like a right-hand man, that it seems like you go in and sort of save the day. Like you're that one person's hero, whether it's a groom or a bride you're going in for. You have a backstory, you pretend, you know, we have this whole history, but you make that one person feel better.
Yeah.
The other one is like, oh, you might be walking into a fucking mess.
Yeah.
And that, like those kind of messy, like there's drama. I don't really like her anymore. I wanted to fire her. None of my bridesmaids are doing shit. I feel like I did all this stuff for them and they're not doing it for me. Like as a wedding planner, I try to stay as far away from that as possible if I can. And you're just like immersing yourself in that. It seems like two very different experiences that you just like show up to.
Yeah. And I'm like not qualified for either of these things. Like I was a poetry major in college. Before this, I was a full-time writer, but I have always loved people. And I've always actually had a fascination with strangers and helping strangers in difficult situations. The other thing is I never liked weddings. Like I was never wedding obsessed. I don't really like weddings even now, but I love helping people in difficult situations, which happen to be weddings. So when I found myself in this job, it clicked because I really love the power of people. I also thrive in chaos. So you're so right. Like both scenarios are so different and unique, but both of them just really spoke to me. And on some weekends, I have two weddings or three weddings a weekend where I alternate situations. So it's a ton of emotions and it's honestly a pretty tough job, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It's two different people.
And on Monday, you kind of like decompress. I mean, I do after a wedding, I'm there for 12 hours or whatever, but it's like, you're dealing with one focused part of the wedding that has many, many parts, but it can be the most fraught part. And we get a ton of questions from listeners and that like makes up all of these episodes that we put together, but a lot of them have to do with people wondering, number one, who's appropriate. And lots of times that's somebody who's like, I don't know. We just moved. I don't have a lot of work friends. I don't know if I want a big wedding party. I have 10 cousins. So if I ask one, then do I have to ask all 10? So one of the big questions is who to invite to accept the honor of being your bridesmaid or your groomsman or your groom's lady, or however you're going to have this tribe of people. And then the other group that we get emails from is, which I'm sure these people reach out to you too. I have a wedding party and my friendship or relationship with one or more of these people has, and especially with COVID, where they're planning 2 years, 3 years out sometimes, my relationship has changed. It's very tense now. We're not even really friends, or this happened, or something changed things. And so how do I fire them or deal with it? Like there's a lot of interpersonal And when you go into those situations, do you do some like counseling sessions ahead of time?
Yeah,
how do you help? It's hard.
Dynamics between people are interesting, and the role of a bridesmaid, a groomsman, whatever you want to call it, like, is so interesting because people agree to take on this role without ever knowing what it means. And every single wedding has different expectations. So, you know, I think in general, number one, before you even figure out who you want to ask, figure out what you want from the people in your life. And number two, I just want to say, and I know this is bad for my business, you don't need bride party. You do not need to have bridesmaids or groomsmen. You don't need any of that. But if you do choose to do that, create the role for your friends and family that you want and you're comfortable with and that they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. In my situation, I walk into disasters and fires and friendships dissolving and chaos and tears, and I have to keep the peace. So a lot of times I work with the client to figure out, okay, what's the dynamic? What's the situation? What should I be aware of? Tell me every curveball. And they try their best, but they mm-hmm. can't cover all the bases. So I'm a little bit prepared, but honestly, you never know what you're going to expect till you open that hotel door and you see the people and you work with them.
Yeah. So is it like a survey that you send, or is it, cause you say like, I want to know all the stuff. Well, that could be like hours and hours of conversation. Like, and then we went to college and then she cheated on her boyfriend and I ended up marrying that boyfriend. And then that's about like, it's impossible to get all the information, but what's the process of like onboarding you so that you have enough information to be helpful, but also you have enough information to like do a good job at kind of faking it for the way, because I'm fascinated with that part. And I have lots of questions about the like backstory and how people react to you, but
yeah, I talk to my clients, I think, more than I talk to my real friends. So I think like one thing about the job people don't realize is that it happens way before the wedding. So I get to know these people anywhere between 6 months to a year and a half before their wedding. We have monthly, weekly, sometimes daily phone calls where I am collecting all of this information. It is very personalized because the truth is it's not just rent a friend and never see them. It's hire a person who's going to support you in so many different types of ways. And that support really does come in a genuine getting to know you way. So this is why the end of the job is the hardest, because when it's over, I truly most of the time feel like I'm losing a friend because I've invested so much in getting to know them and their situations. And I really do.
You skip like the years that it takes somebody to get really deep and trust someone because they want you to do the best that you can. That's, they want you to help them in some way. So the floodgates are open kind of by design from the beginning. It's like when you meet someone, sorry, go ahead.
No, I think this is like how I know that this was the job for me. And anyone who knows me will tell you this. I am the kind of person who will sit in a park bench, talk to a stranger and learn their deepest, darkest secrets in 30 minutes. Whereas most people would talk to the stranger about the weather or the neighborhood. I don't know how I do it. My husband is fascinated, but like I can talk to a person and just peel off and get to the point with them. And I think that's why I love this job, is because I feel like we skip the small talk and I'm like, tell me what I have to know. What are you hiding? And I do it in a way that makes them comfortable.
That's a gift, Jen. I mean, like you said, I'm not qualified for any of this, but in what you're naturally good at and how that affects the people around you to bring out, you know, what they're good at and to feel like they can trust you and to feel like they can count on you is a gift. Also to like cut all that other stuff out and like get to the heart of the matter. I mean, Michelle and I just did we will have done it by the time this episode comes out, a speaking engagement. And we're talking about how in the past 5-6 years of doing interviews, we've learned how to just get cut right to the, we can't just like small talk around because we're on with an hour and we want to get all this good content. And we found that like, we'll get off one of these recordings and be like, well, that took a turn. I did not intend to tell that person what's going on in my marriage, you know, or whatever, like, because we're trying to set that up intentionally. It doesn't always work, but Michelle and I both, and we're very different. You're not meeting Michelle, but like the two of us are very different. That's probably why this whole thing works, but we're both the kind of people that can sit down at a bar and it might go from small talk to, and that's where the body is buried.
And I think there's beauty to that. And I think, you know, I think there's a lot of things that actually do make me good for the job. Number one is that I don't love talking about myself. So this is what I've used as a defense mechanism, is I know how to really turn the conversation and the attention off of me to the person.
Which so people getting married love. I mean, they need that.
For sure. And also like at weddings, when they're like, how do you know the person getting married? I'm like, how do you know them? You know, and I cover myself, but you know, I think there's that. I think also like I'm a very secretive person. So me blending into this job is really healthy and good for me. So, you know, if you break down my personality, there's a lot of reasons why this is actually the only job I could ever have. But we learn so much about ourselves in these unique things we find ourselves in.
Did you have any, I know you're a poetry major. I'm a theater major. Doesn't always get us jobs after. Yeah. College, but did you have any improv or theatrical experience in your past? Because like the art of pretending to be someone else is very yes. And, you know, yeah. Like build up of the other person, like circle back is very improv-y. So for you to do this, yeah. Like you're basically performing very long form improv every single weekend. It's kind of wild.
Yeah. No, it's true. I never have. I'm actually like a very shy person. So I feel like my whole life I've learned how to blend and I've learned how to show up in situations and be who I'm not.
A chameleon. And
exactly. And I think in some of these situations too, like, yeah, I'm being who I'm not, but I'm also really loving who I am in that situation. I think one of the things this job has taught me is that people are so dynamic and in different situations, they show up and thrive in ways they didn't know they could. So I think like, while I don't have any background in acting or improv, like when I'm there, I'm genuinely there. And I'm genuinely like in the moment, happy to be there. I'm not really acting because I have built this bond with a person that's real,
right.
You know? And I think like, that's like, I'm never faking it, never faking it. And I think it's something where I've just been so good at blending that it just fits who I am.
So I want to ask questions about like the role itself. So our listeners can, and we're going to use the word bridesmaid a lot, cause that's the name of your business, but you've definitely worked with all different kinds yes. of couples. And so sometimes your title might not be bridesmaid. So just yep. want to put that out there, that that will be my default title for the rest of this episode. But before I get to that part, I want to ask, like, how do you come up with the backstory? And I like that, like you, the stuff about that person, you've spent enough time with them that, you know, like she has such a great sense of humor. She once made me like pee my pants because she made these, you know, like, that might be true. That's a funny person you're talking about, but the, like, we met in college or we used to work together. Do you reuse a lot of your same material? Do you like study in your car right before you get out? Like, this is who I am. This is where I live. This is what I do. Where does that all come from?
Yeah. So I think when we get to know each other, we find what's the gap in your life based on who's going to be there that I could become. So I'm not going to be your friend from college if you have college friends there, but I could be your friend from that time you lived in New York for 2 years and no one else is there from New York. So we figure out that natural gap so that it fits into your life. And then I take on the role of being that really like aloof friend that either like moved to another country or so full of their own life that I just don't show up for anything and I'm never right. around. We all have a friend like that. We all have that kind of friend. And that's sort of who I am in their life. And so the backstories always change. And yes, I have to study them so much because sometimes I have multiple weddings a weekend. I'm never really good with names. So I have to watch myself and study and memorize street corners, memorize places I ate, memorize colors, memorize facts. And it's tough. I mean, thank God for the phone. I write a lot of it down and look at it while I'm there. But
totally.
Yeah.
And like pronunciations, I mean, you can't mispronounce somebody's name if like you're their friend from 10 years ago. That would be an automatic, like, what's with that chick?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think like, you know, while I do have this backstory and I'm playing this role, people are like, how do you not get caught? And I'm like, most people at a wedding aren't looking to spot the hired bridesmaid. So it's not obvious. And if I mess up on something or I say something wrong, like think about it, at weddings, you're not really engaging in conversation with a lot of people that deep. So people, we keep it surface level. I flip it on them and we move on.
And you move around a lot. I would think that like physically, like working the room, which is part of the job description to like,
yeah.
you know, mingle and like make sure things over here are okay. And like maybe the bride wants you to check on this, like you're physically moving. So you could probably be pretty strategic with like I don't want that aunt to ask me any more questions because I, you know, look familiar, or she's sure that she met me sometime at, you know, the bride's birthday party or something. So you might, do you kind of like, I don't know, avoid or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I use all my favorite party tricks, which is like avoidance, short conversations, forgetting, flattery, compliments, moving around, being a little like aloof and scattering. So just like, you know, things like that where I'm being human, I'm being me, you wouldn't notice, but I'm just not like, let me tell you my life story. So yeah. Right.
With the, like onboarding process and you're like, give me all the dirt, basically, like, tell me what's what, you probably find out, like, if there's five other bridesmaids, you're going to find out like, who's the alpha, who's the flake, who's going to get too wasted, all the stereotypes that we, but largely you already know that most, if not all of them, are not that helpful. Otherwise you probably would not have been hired in the first place. And I talked to Michelle about this when we were talking about what we should ask you. And I have brought this up a lot because the first time I meet the crew of bridesmaids and groomsmen or anybody that's like a VIP in the wedding party is usually at the rehearsal. By that point, I've worked really closely with the two people getting married. 99.9% of the time, they really like me. That's what I've worked to get. But then I'll show up on the day of, like at getting ready at the hotel, like you're saying, and I have my clipboard and I've got my apron and I'm like on top of it and ready to go. And I have this, they might've met me the night before, maybe, maybe not, but I've walked into some rooms where like the people in there were kind of like, who's that? And a little bit bitchy. And I try to remember like, well, they don't know me from Adam. They're not close to me like the bride is who hired me. But I also get a little bit bummed out that like the bride or groom didn't say, hey, you guys, I have this planner. She's going to come in here tomorrow. She's pretty on top of things. So if she tells you anything, like just be cool because I love her and she's doing this job for me. Don't be assholes. Like I wish that that talk happened because sometimes I walk into a room and it's very clear that I'm not wanted there.
Yeah.
So I feel, how do I'm
like,
you?
Yeah, I'm like laughing because it's my life. Like I walk into these rooms and you feel the energy, you feel the negativity, you feel the eyes on you. In my case, like I'm that friend they never really heard of or seen before who hasn't participated in a lot of conversations. And they're just like, "Who? Why are you being so nice to her?" And so I feel like I'm always walking into fire. I try to help. I find that I can turn a person if I figure out a way to help them. And even in situations where a person really doesn't like me, like you pull out, you know, a safety pin or a phone charger, or like this weekend I pulled out like boob tape and like I was the hero. Sometimes I'll boob get everyone's Starbucks. Yeah.
Like deodorant. Oh, sometimes people are like, I need some of that. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to, you know, we have deodorant for armpits, but then we got the stick that's supposed to be for your upper thighs. Like it's in the bag. Yeah. I agree that sometimes like I'll be the one who saves the day with like a Tide stick or whatever.
Yes.
How do you operate in that room to be helpful for the person who hired you? Once the wedding planner, let's say the wedding planner is like, come and said hi and, you know, check some things off her list. And then she leaves and the room just, and the girls in the room just kind of like, get back to their phones or whatever. And nobody's like, what is productive? And let's say this, like, we're trying to frame this for all the people listening who have not quite figured out the expectations they want for a wedding party. What do you do to be helpful and like bring the vibe up and just like keep it moving? Yeah.
I think it's such an awkward situation because like people are on a time limit, people have priorities. You know, like my biggest pet peeve is when bridesmaids make that morning about them. And I see that all the time. Someone's not happy with their hair, their makeup's a little off, their dress isn't working, and they're like throwing a fit. So I think the number one way you could be a good bridesmaid is just don't make it about you on that day. If you're not happy with something, just don't bring it up.
And number definitely two, don't tell the bride.
Exactly. Right? This is number two. Like if something is going wrong and you notice it, do not tell the bride. You know, like there's been times where like something really bad is happening the bride does not have to know. There's people in the background, like a great wedding planner who's dealing with it, who will talk to the bride if they have to, but the bridesmaid will be like, oh, did you know like your flowers are like not the right color? Like, you know, so that's important. And I think like just to keep it calm. I think a lot of bridesmaids want to make that morning like super bubbly and exciting and like popping champagne. But I actually think the person getting married would rather just a calm, chill vibe with zero pressure to entertain or to feel like people have to entertain that person either.
That is a great tip for what you can do ahead of time to like set that tone. And it has to do with a timeline. Part of the reason that morning time is very hectic is because like hair and makeup, first of all, stylists are always going to under quote when it comes to timing. It's going to take us 40 minutes per. Well, add 20 minutes per and you're about there, but also buffer time, which we talk about a lot on the podcast. Like if you're thinking like, we don't really need to start until 9 a.m. Why not just start at 8 and like, what's that one extra hour so that you can already know, like it doesn't have to be hectic and crazy in here. We have plenty of time. I added an hour. I've burned some sage. I have like mint in the water, you know, whatever makes you feel like the whole room is not erupting.
Yeah.
And a good bridesmaid might have a couple of those things, you know, upper sleeve or just like help to manage. And I know you're not the wedding planner, but like manage in terms of like, maybe we don't need to talk. Maybe we talk about that in the hallway. Yeah. Did you say the flowers are the wrong color? Maybe we talk about that. Like, just like troubleshoot, just push things out of the way for the person getting married who is nervous, stressed out, probably a little worried about how everything's going to go. Like just, you're almost like a bodyguard of stress. Yeah.
I just have to say this. I was venting to my husband this weekend after a wedding. Please do not trust any of your vendors except for the wedding planner about the timeline, because every vendor cares about them and their service, not about what time the wedding starts. So I think that's a huge thing that I see if there's not a wedding planner is like the hair and makeup people are 3 hours too late doing hair and makeup. You know, the photographer wants to go all around town. So that's what makes the day super stressful. So if you don't have a wedding planner, at least have a bridesmaid sit down and like realistically look at that timeline and make it work, because I was venting this weekend because it's so true. Like every vendor cares about themselves and their service. They do not care about the start time of your wedding except for a wedding planner.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
And even some of them that are, you know, professional, really professional and amazing and expensive and like photographers, they don't care that the dinner plates are sitting, getting cold if they're trying to get a sunset shot. And the only place to get it is 15 minutes down the street. And so, you know, we have to like also be clear about what the priorities are. Maybe the couple said, we will be devastated if you don't get that sunset shot. And then that needs to be communicated to the rest of the team so that buffer time can be added to that. Because I think you're right. Vendors tend to have like tunnel vision with what they were hired to do.
Yeah.
And I've gone head to head with some DJs too. And he's, you know, I'll be like, why are we doing this? They did not want you to play and, you know, whatever it is. And then the answer is like, no, that's what they did want. They did want that. And so, you know, I have paperwork and documents and emails to like back it up, but I don't want to be figuring that out in the middle of a wedding. And one part of a good bridesmaid is being like running that interference. Now I've gotten the bodyguard analogy and a football analogy, but like being an advocate for like when the bride is like, Jen, I don't want to be rude, but I ordered the chicken, but I want the steak or whatever. Can you go get it for me? Like, are you the kind of go-between or advocate sometimes for what they...
Yeah, sometimes, but more for the people where it's like, hey, my mom is stressing me out. I need you to get her out of the room. Or hey, bridesmaid number three is like being really annoying, causing a scene, crying about her hair. Like, I need you to go deal with that. And like, sure, a wedding planner could do that, but they're so busy.
Right.
Like they don't need to have this other task. So a lot of what I do is interfere with people or, oh, John is going to get blackout drunk and fight someone. I need you to make sure the bartender stops serving him. Or if you see him get to a certain point, like So I think a lot of what I'm interfering and helping with are the awkward people situations. Like my mother-in-law. Yeah. The mother-in-law drives them crazy, is not allowed in the room, all of that. And there's nobody else you can tell. Cause sure, you can tell your friends or your other bridesmaids, but they might remember that information forever and be like, remember when you kicked your mom out and hold that against you? But you know,
you get to never show up to a Thanksgiving and be like, sorry, Aunt Jane.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever, we're talking about like people in the orbit of your clients that might be difficult or horrible or, you know, problematic. And I hear about that too. Those two people cannot be within eyesight. They're divorced and it's very awkward. Or my uncle drinks too much and make sure he doesn't. That's a little bit. And I usually say like, I'll do my best and, you know, we'll see, but let me talk to a responsible, who's your point person out of these bridesmaids. It's not always the maid of honor. It's not always the best man. It might be like, I always need a contact phone. I need somebody in the wedding party that's not the bride or the groom or the groom or the groom, whoever. I need their cell phone. So I want the most responsible member's cell phone number so that at any point I can check in. But we're talking about like difficult people in their orbit. Have you ever worked with a client, a couple, a person where you didn't know this going into it, but on the wedding day, it became clear like, oh, you're the difficult person. Everybody around you is lovely and reasonable. Cause some people turn into brats around their parents, even adults, where they just like go back to being a 13-year-old, like, mom, get it off. Mom, you're embarrassing me. And I'm always like, oh shit. Like this, I did not see. Yep. I did not see you be ugly and rude. And now I'm here and you are.
Yeah. And I think like one of the things I've learned is that weddings bring out so many emotions that I don't think people realize until the day of and everything's hitting them. So you see that, like you think, you know, some of the people getting married, or you think, you know, the bridal party, and you get there and you're like, whoa, this is not what I had thought. But I do think it's because of like this bottled up emotion that weddings release, or like, you know, everyone coming together just brings out so much. So I think like you can't prepare for how you're going to feel on your wedding day, but do prepare that it might be what you didn't think it was. And if so, how are you going to deal with those awkward, stressful, you know, nerve-wracking moments where you're feeling all of these feels?
Yeah. How can you set yourself up for success in the event that something goes wrong? And it might be you have some sort of prescription pill handy and you need to take it. I mean, if that's going to be like your solution, like no judgment.
Yep.
I wonder if, have you ever had to, like you go in prepared to be this person's right-hand man and advocate and like, you're going to do whatever they need. Have you ever had to like, not talk somebody off the ledge or down the aisle necessarily? I'm sure you have, but like, have you ever had to like, check somebody a little bit, like, hey, right now you're acting irrational and you don't need to, because this is how, like, kind of get them to refocus their perspective.
I've definitely had to de-escalate people who are, you know, sort of losing it over things that like in the normal world, they wouldn't, you know, like, you know, let's just say they put their dress on and like one of the straps is like a little bit frayed or ripped or something, where like every other day you'd be okay. And they're losing it to the point where like they can't function. They want to cancel the wedding. They're being, you know, sort of irrational. I've had to de-escalate those situations, but I've also had to deal with cold feet and people walking away and people telling you that they don't really want to marry that person. So, you know, you get a combination of everything and you don't prepare for those moments ever.
If there's bridesmaids, you know, future bridesmaids listening right now, what is in your go-to pep talk for the like frayed, you know, in order to just be like, let's move past this and have a great day. Like, what is your strategy?
You know, like I think in general, I'm such a motivational person, but in those moments, I ditch the motivation and I just get real and I say, okay, let's talk about, you know, what the options are right now. And I say, okay, you want to end this wedding because of the strap? Let's end, almost like maybe you would with the kids, like, let's end the wedding. Let's go home. And then they're like, no, no. So almost like give into what they want, like listen to them, because sometimes in those moments, if you try to overspeak them or motivate them, That is like the worst thing you can do. So a lot of it is actually not even me speaking, listening to them, asking them questions, making them realize how irrational they're being. And then they pull back and say, okay, you know what? Fine. I feel better. Sure. I can fix the strap, but that's not even what the issue is. It's not the strap. It's always way more than the strap. It's these underlying emotions, these huge things they're feeling. It's just, it's more than the strap. And you have to realize that.
Yeah. Which you can't, like, a therapist or a best friend would be like, hey girl, it's obviously more than the strap. Let's talk about it. Right. What's really bothering you? How do you feel in this moment? How did you feel when he said that? You don't have time for that on a wedding day. So I love that the strategy is like, just listen, let them get it out.
Yep.
But also like, this is the problem, the strap for now, we're just going to say the strap is a problem. So what can we do? What is the solution? Hey, do you want me to go tell people that we're going to start 30 minutes late and I'm going to call a seamstress and we're going to do this whole thing? Do you want me to tell your fiance you don't want to have the wedding? Like it's a, you're asking them like, what do you want me to do? And you're providing them with options. Like, I think that's what a good bridesmaid or groomsman or somebody in the VIP list can have in their back pocket is like, you know, your friends, if they're prone to anxiety or they're going to like lose it over something or they have anger issues, you can just be ready to be down and be honest with like, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. But here's the three things I think we can do. So what should we do? I think like a good, great, helpful member of the wedding party is even keel and reasonable.
Yep.
And ready to like, everybody should be ready to have a great time, but ready to deal with something rather than just be like, I just want to dance.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You have to deal with something that's kind of your gig for the day.
This weekend, I heard people say to the bride, it's all going to be okay. Like, don't worry. Just like calm down. It's all going to be okay. And I'm thinking that is the worst thing you can say, because you know, even in real life to a friend who's panicking, the worst thing you can say to your best friend in real life is it's going to be okay. Just calm down. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. You wouldn't say that in real life to most of your friends because you know it would stress them out. Now imagine saying that on the wedding day. It takes things to the next level. So people always say to me, Jen, what is like the number one thing you can tell people to be a better bridesmaid? And it's as simple as just be a good friend. Just like you would in the real world. And then maybe be a little bit extra like that on the wedding day. That's the trick. That is absolutely the trick.
Be like yourself as a good friend, as on, you know, superpower for the day. Like anybody can do it. I think one thing that I've seen bridesmaids do and groomsmen as well, that is a relief to me as a planner, is when they take the, let's say bride, out of like whatever drama it is. It could be vendor related. It could be family related. It could be just health personal stuff. And it's like, hey, we have some time. Do you just want to go on a walk, like get out of here, walk around the hotel, dress or not, robe, slippers, half dressed. Like, let's just go get a coffee. Let's walk to Starbucks. Like, let's go to the lobby. Just something that is a physical, I want you to come back because I'm your planner. So I want us to stick on the timeline. So you need to be where you're supposed to be for the first look or whatever. But I think it can be really helpful to be like, should we just go outside for a second?
Yeah.
And just breathe.
I think a lot of people don't realize like getting ready with 5-10 other people is a lot. Not only is it a lot, but it's a lot of noise. It's a lot of chaos. Like I always have this thing. When I throw myself a birthday party, I never have fun because you're worried about other people. That is what it feels like on the morning of your wedding. So look, decide. And it's totally okay to be like, I want to get ready alone in the room next to where all of you are getting ready and pop back in out. Like there's no rules for your wedding day. Just do what you feel comfortable with. But please know that if you choose to get ready with multiple people, you're going to have a lot. And if you're cool with that, be cool with that. If not, have a game plan to excuse yourself if you have to take a break.
That's a great idea to have the room next to, if it's at like a hotel or if it's a suite and you can, one of the rooms is like bride only, close the door because it is loud and chaotic and people are on different wavelengths. So somebody that's like knocking back mimosas and playing Tupac on her iPhone and like having just a loud, great time versus somebody like practicing her toast in the corner and she cries every time she gets to a certain part versus a mom who's like floating around, you know, flitting around, kind of like poking in everywhere. It's a lot of hubbub and yes. chaos. And you might yep. want to just like join that for a little bit and then be like, I'm going to go get my lashes put on and be away.
Yep.
I also think it's a really great idea when couples get ready together in the morning, because it takes off so much of the pressure for later in the day. And it can be such a sweet, intimate, like you're do. I mean, when I'm on vacation and like my husband and I were somewhere fancy, like we don't normally do this, but if I'm like putting on my makeup and while he's, you know, putting his socks on and getting dressed and you're like in the same room, but you're both, it's just not, it can be very sweet. And I think yep. more couples would benefit from doing that. That's not here nor there, but I'm sure you've seen that where it like works
yeah.
kind of well, because it's like a little private.
But I think it goes back to like people think they have to have their wedding a certain way. But the truth is you need to honestly do what you can to take care of yourself that morning. And again, if that means getting ready solo, getting married with your partner, getting ready with just two people, go off and do that. Like, this is what bothers me about weddings, is that people think they have to do all of these things. You don't have to do any of it. You really don't. Do only what you really want.
Yes, 100%. And if you're pretty transparent with the people that you surround yourself with in terms of like, this is what we're doing, this is how I would like it to feel, or this is where I need your help, or this is what time I want you to show up so that we can do this, it can be sometimes the simplest mode of communication with your core people is going to be the best. Like, you don't have to over explain, yeah. like, we decided we're not going to do this. I know you guys all love that, but I really don't care what your hair and makeup looks like. So just do it yourself. That's yeah. what I'm doing. That's what I choose to do. I think choosing to have people around you that support you and love you, but are also like in the know, you can't blame yeah. people for what they don't know. So you said from the beginning of this, like, be clear about what your expectations are before you start asking every friend you have to do this. And it's not like a contract, like, will you be my bridesmaid? Here's the 100 things I'm going to need you to do. Please sign on the dotted line. But it's good to kind of know going into it, like, this is what I expect. Are these three cousins the right people for that job? Probably not. So I'm going to leave them off and I'll include them in other ways. But I really want to surround myself with trusted friends who are going to help me like set this vibe. Yeah. And then those friends have to follow through on that. And your job is to be the person who can jump in and follow through on that.
Yeah. I think the concept of bridesmaid, groomsman, whatever, is so unique because the word means so many different things. And I hope that it continues to evolve and grow and change as the years go on. I think, you know, the traditional meaning of it was your closest friends and family, but I don't think it has to be like that. And I truly think you can define those words however you want and then fit the people in your life that you trust and support and want by your side. And that's it. Yeah. And I don't even think you have to like feel bad about it if you choose to have no bridesmaids or some or a couple groomsmen, like, but I think you need to know what that term means to you. And I think yeah. that, you know, we throw around the term bridesmaid, groomsmen, but no one really actually knows what it means or what it means to us. And that's fascinating to me.
Yeah. The history of the role has certainly, I mean, it's changed a lot since, yep. and it's different in different cultures too. You have books and websites. Like, I want you to drop everything that you like, tell us all where to find you. But this episode is just scratching the surface of like your experiences with a spectrum of personalities and situations and drama, but also different cultures, different traditions, cool things you've seen, shit that didn't work, stuff you wish people wouldn't do anymore. Like, all of your experiences are much more than we can talk about. But let everybody know where to find you and the books. And do you have another book coming out soon?
I do. So yes, you could find me on my website, bridesmaidforhire.com. I have a couple books out there. They're all on my website. My newest one is called Finally the Bride, about my experiences getting married in a pandemic. And you can check me out on Instagram at bridesmaidforhire or at Jen Glantz. And this was so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. And I want to tell everyone that on your Instagram, you have, well, it's the TikTok onto Instagram. I don't,
do.
Yeah, I'm not, you're exactly right.
But so it's just a ton of like quick fire Q&As. So
yep.
Very, very useful stuff. And also really great if you just want a little bit of a pep talk and like, oh, you know what? I can do it. Jen said I could. She's been to 1,000 weddings. I'm just going to do it and like get in the right headspace to plan your wedding and pick your people and have a great time.
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.